Merry Christmas. All right, so we are on the edge of it, right? It's pretty cool. You know, it never gets old, no matter how old I get, and I got a lot more gray hairs than the first Christmases that I remember, but never gets old. Christmas Eve never gets old, being on the edge between Christmas Eve and Christmas and looking forward to Christmas and opening presents and hanging out and football and all the cool things. It never, ever gets old, and I hope it doesn't get old for you. I hope that you are having a very merry Christmas season or Advent season, and I hope that tomorrow it only gets better. And in between tomorrow and New Year's, it gets even better and ages very well for you, whether you are going somewhere or people are coming to you or whatever it is you're doing to rest and relax and absorb this moment that we're in where we celebrate Jesus' coming into the world. When he came the first time at his first advent or his first arrival. And for Christians, we use this as a springboard to say, hey, we're waiting also for the second arrival. We get seconds. And so we are waiting for him to come back. And Jesus Christ is going to come back, not as a baby the next time, but as a judge, and who is going to come and he will clean house on this world and remove all evil and all darkness. And then he will bring a new creation where his people are going to live and hang out with him for forever and hang out with one another for forever. No disease, no sickness or anything. We look forward to the second advent. It's going to be really cool. But in any event, Merry Christmas to everybody, and I hope that your season is bright so far and only gets brighter. In any event, we are looking forward to the big day tomorrow, and what we've been doing here at Journey for the Advent season is that we've been looking at a series, and the series that we've been engaged in is a series that challenges us to make room, basically, for Advent blessings, because every Advent, lots of churches, especially Protestant churches, I know all around the Western world, celebrate certain blessings or realities or virtues, you may call them, that accompany the first coming of Jesus. And usually those are listed as peace, joy, hope, love. Sometimes faith gets worked in there, maybe one or two others, that's just fine. And we celebrate in some way, shape, or form these virtues, these realities, these Advent blessings. And we've been doing that this year, 2025, here at Journey. And we usually do something like that in some way, shape, or form as we get into the Word of God. And we've been doing that this year. And so this will be the punctuation on that series tonight as we are looking forward to lighting the Christ candle and as we look forward to Christmas Day. And I want to say this, that when I was a kid, I remembered some of my earliest Christmases. What I used to look forward to, of course, was presents. Presents were the big deal. And I wanted all the cool stuff. For me, it was G.I. Joe. Right, as a G.I. Joe guy, I wanted G.I. Joe, preferably with Kung Fu grip, but I would take it without the Kung Fu grip. That was okay. Right, that was cool. Or Transformers, right? Any Transformers fans in the house? I was a big Transformers kid. And so G.I. Joe, Transformers, usually top of the list. Then I got, as time went, and for a while that was the mainstay. I got other things too. You get clothes, right? Some of which you kind of understand. You know, when you're a kid, you don't understand clothes. Your parents understand clothes. Right, your parents are like, oh, thank God. Oh, thank you for getting my kids some clothes, especially grandparents giving you clothes. Your parents love the clothes, right? Because someone else is getting you clothes outside of them and is financing your existence. That's really cool. Kids are kind of like, yeah, clothes. Okay, fine. I want G.I. Joe, right? And that's what I want. And that's what I was like. But over time, I started realizing, like, clothes are cool, right? And also, I begin to, like, getting to young ladies and wanting to look good for them. Like, not only are clothes cool, but cool clothes are cool, right? And cool shoes are cool. Whoa, right? This all began to transform for me as time went on. You want different things as you grow older. This is to be expected. And then, like, over time, I start realizing that, when I was about, like, I don't know, about 7, I would get money. And usually I get about $5. This is like, this is the 80s. So, that would go a long way. I've read a lot of comic books. I could buy a few comic books with $5. These days, not so much. You get like maybe one comic book. Maybe. with $5, right? In this world, maybe you're lucky if you could do that, right? But $5 went a long way. Like, oh, I got my $5. Over time, I was like, oh no, I like the cash. Right, I begin to like the money, and you know, the money kind of got upped a little bit as I got older. The presents changed, right, as you get older. That happens for all of us, right? Presents change. Now, I still get gifts, but now I'm like, man, family's healthy, happy, right? Doing pretty well, living a reasonably stable life. I'm like, yep, praise God. I'm for the most part good. Every now and then it's like, you know, I want like one very small thing, usually, that kind of thing, and I'm okay. I'm all right, right? It comes with age. As time goes by, the presents change, right? And your appreciation for certain things, they change because you change, you get older. And as we gauge from like the first Christmas, we start out with the very first Christmas that we read about, mostly in the nativity stories, which are contained in the Gospel of Matthew, the Gospel of Luke. Then also you have a lot of Old Testament prophecies foretelling the coming of Jesus. You have, you know, this kind of material. As you look at these, right, there are certain things you get used to, right? Every year we go over these stories, and you know you're going to expect shepherds, right? And Deb did a good job narrating the Christmas story for us tonight, and so we ran into shepherds. Also, lots of angels. Right, is gobs of angels first Christmas. I mean, they are all over the place. I mean, angels are working overtime. They probably got overtime in heaven, right? You got angel popping up talking to Mary. You got angel popping up talking to Joseph, Zechariah, right? You got a bunch of angels talking to the shepherds. The shepherds got the lion's share of angels. Lots of angels, right? Gobs of angels. And you got prophets. You got Old Testament prophets foretelling Jesus is coming. And then you got New Testament prophets. You got Mary prophesying. Joseph received prophecy. Zechariah, Elizabeth, a guy named Simeon who'd been waiting to see the Messiah, a woman named Anna also who was waiting, right? Two older people who God gave them long life, and they were allowed to see the Messiah come in this little baby, and they were so happy to see him. This is what we see, right? Shepherds, angels, prophets in the nativity story in the first Christmas, right? And unlike me growing up out of like G.I. Joe, I don't get G.I. Joe in my early 50s, right? It may be a collector's item. Somebody wants to hook me up with a collector's item, let's talk, right? We can talk, right? You want to hook me up with a collector's item of like, you know, some old comic book or something like that that's in mint condition, we also will talk, right? It's fine. But in any event, that's not for me. Right? That's not for me right now. I'm older. You're not going to see that in my life again. No Transformers, no G.I. Joes, no comic books, right? But beyond Christmas, you do continue to see shepherds, angels, prophets with respect to Jesus beyond the first Christmas, right? Things change, but they stay very much the same after the first Christmas. This isn't like me or you being a kid, Christmas then, Christmas now. As Jesus gets older, and when we meet him again in the Gospels, a grown man with an incredible Kingdom of God ministry, ushering in the rule of God into this world to seek and save all humanity, we do see shepherds, angels, and we see prophets. Here's how we see shepherds. Jesus says in John 10, I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. That's John 10, verses 14 through 15. We see a shepherd. A little different, though. It's not a shepherd who's announcing him. This is Jesus saying, I'm the good shepherd. Right? You see shepherd again when Jesus is actually commissioning his own shepherds, his own disciples as leaders. More specifically, Peter. After Jesus is resurrected, John chapter 21, he says to Peter, if you love me, feed my sheep. Which makes Peter a shepherd. Right? So we see shepherds again. Beyond Christmas in the life of Jesus. Jesus is a shepherd, and he also commissions his own shepherds, right? Angels, we will see angels again in the New Testament, right? Except this time they're not announcing Christ as a baby. In one instance, at the very last book of the Bible, the book of Revelation, the apocalypse of John, right? In chapter 1, John gets this incredible, grandiose vision of Jesus that's so amazing that John falls down as if he's dead. It just blows him away. He's like, oh, right? And the picture, this vision of Jesus, Jesus is holding angels in his right hand as if to say, I command them. The angels who announced me, I now command, right? So we see angels again beyond the first Christmas. And we see prophets again. We see prophets. In Matthew 23, which is a long chapter where Jesus is just absolutely destroying his religious critics. They're religious leaders who just dog Jesus' ministry, and Jesus goes off. That's all Matthew 23 is. When you read it, if you have like one of those Bibles with words of Jesus in red, it's like all red. And it's not just red because it's Jesus' words, it's red for angry. You know, Hulk smash, right? And it's angry stuff, and he just rips these guys. And in one part of that diatribe, verse 34, Jesus tells them, he says, therefore, I am sending you prophets and sages and teachers. The prophets are not just announcing him at his birth. Now he's sending them. Look at all these three realities here. Shepherds at his birth announce Jesus. Later on, Jesus says, I'm the good shepherd, and I'm commissioning my own shepherds. Angels announce him. Later on, Jesus controls angels. Prophets announce him when he's a baby. Later, he sends prophets. What a difference time makes between the first Christmas, when Jesus is a baby, and later on, when Jesus is a grown man, large and in charge, running stuff. What a difference that time makes. And with respect to these four realities that we've been celebrating, and lots of other churches have been celebrating, hope, peace, joy, love, things change. They're all present there when Jesus is born, right? They're all present. They're present in fulfilled prophecy. They're present in really glad people who are having awesome, miraculous things occur in their lives that just make them giddy before God. And God is happy to do it, right? Or a people who is oppressed by an occupying force and has been looking forward to God's chosen one, and he's born into the world, and everybody is just delirious. Everyone's over the moon. When Jesus is born, hope, peace, joy rear their heads, their beautiful heads. But later on in Jesus' life, they come back, right? They come back. We learn in 1 Peter, Peter's first letter concerning hope. Peter says, God caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. 1 Peter 1:3. Right? Later on, in Paul the Apostle, his letter to the Philippians, he says this. He says, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your mind in Christ Jesus. Peace comes back again. Later on, joy. Jesus Christ himself says this. He says to his disciples, if you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's command and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and so that your joy may be complete. Joy. And then love. Jesus says this to his disciples. A new commandment I give to you, that you may love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all men shall know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. See that? All of these pop up again when Jesus has grown. All of these realities that attend his birth, they pop up again. But they pop up again when he's grown and he's giving them. The hope comes from Jesus. He is giving it. The peace comes from him. The joy comes from him. It's his. And the love comes from him. And he just grows up. right? And that's how we should be, you know, as we look at Christmas, right? All these realities and virtues that accompany Christ, they were present at his birth, and they're present now as he is the reigning Lord of the universe. As we say in the Apostles' Creed, he sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there, he will come to judge the living and the dead. All these realities are emanating from him right now as the risen Lord. They are not just abstract things out in the universe that we celebrate. Good vibes. They are from the reigning Lord of the universe, the one who's been crucified for the sins of the world and who's been resurrected and exalted as our hope, who will come again. For us, if we lack any of these this Christmas season, if for some reason we lack hope, we have a hope deficit, or a peace deficit, or a joy deficit, or a love deficit, right? Put Jesus right in the middle, right? And let him fill the void. Let him fill the void, not as a baby, but as the Lord. As the Lord who loves to give peace, who loves to give us joy, who himself gives us hope and should be the object of our hope, who himself is the model of love and who loves us. If there's any deficit, any lack this Christmas season, invite him to fill it. Right? Now here's the hard part. If you have an abundance of hope or peace or joy or love, that's awesome. Praise God. Right? Put Jesus in the middle of that too. In the middle of your abundance of any of these. Right? Now you might say, well, wait, why? I got like all I want. Right? I'm cool. Right? I'm good. Put him in the middle of it. Right? And let him bring it to completion. Right? Let him bring any peace you have, any hope, any joy, any love you have to completion, right? He can and he will, right? All of us at some point in time, I didn't become a Christian until I was 19 years old in college. I experienced of hope and peace and joy and love before coming to know Christ. I did. These things existed for me because they're part of being human. But they didn't find their home until I came to know him. And when they ran out in my life, I didn't know what to do until I came to know Christ. I didn't know how to fill the deficit until I came to know him. Right? So if you have an abundance of these, put him right in the middle. Even if you don't feel like you need to. Because you don't want to wait for deficits, right? Let hope and joy and love and peace find a home in him, right? But this Christmas, right, we will celebrate tomorrow, and it will be amazing for all of us in its own way. It'll be awesome, and I hope that is really true for you. And if there's anything I can do to help you feel amazing about it, praise God, I'll do it, right? But know this, that Christ as the reigning Lord is still offering these realities to us. It's not just something that rolls around once a year. Right? Jesus Christ in his own way and in ways that are very peculiar to each one of us, to our own life situations, our own households, our own families, our relationships, our jobs. You are unique, and so am I. He's offering all these things to all of us. He's offering to these things to us, though, as the risen Lord of the universe. If you've not submitted to him as the Lord, right, I urge you to do so this Christmas, right, and receive the most awesome gift ever, salvation. Because the best gift Jesus offers, and it easily is the most vital, right? But wherever you are with Christ, right, let him complete hope, peace, joy, love in your life. And let him fill any and all deficits of these. Don't fill them with anything else. fill these deficits with Christ. Accept no substitutes, because he is ready, willing, and able, and absolutely available to do so. And he will come through, and he will not let you down. Believe it. It is real, and it is true.